regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me private label.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know why? Because this body is covered in Hickory Ridge soap from Two Old Crows, homestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! That's what I'm talking about. Get some of that sexy beef out.
Sexy beast.
Sexy beast.
Or sharp-dressed man. Those two are good for men.
Yeah, that's well, I like you. There's not anything I tried there. You know, at the end of the day, all I care about is if it gets me clean. But yeah, it doesn't hurt that I come out smelling like a, you know.
Sexy beast? Yeah, is that what you're, grr, is that what you're applying?
Grr, that's what I'm talking about. all right, y'all. Also, remember, Heaven's Harvest, you get 10% off with promo code PERMA. And I got to be honest with you, I was out there this morning when we were knocking out the chores. Your mom was going into the high tunnel. And lo and behold, I kid you not, no matter the seed, it looks like 100% germination so far.
Yeah, they seem to be doing pretty well. I mean, you don't get this type of germination rate for most seed companies in Asheville.
No, I was just, I think I talked about it in the last podcast where I was talking to Ben Holler. And he called up and he said, hey, the one you were talking about, is this particular seed company? I said, yeah, that's it. All right. He's like, dude, I think they had like none come up or like 10% germination rate from these highfalutin places. But
yeah,
it's really, I didn't want to give a shout out. I reached out to them because I know they do good work. And like I said, it's Heaven's Harvest. Good Christian family owned company. And I'm thinking, okay, they got great stuff when I tasted it. And then all of a sudden, these seeds, man, I got to be honest, I thought that was going to be a deal breaker because if these seeds weren't what they said they were.
I wonder if it's the Mylar bags, the fact that they send them in Mylar bags. I wonder if that has anything to do with it because a lot of people send them in like paper bags and that's like, it just leaves the seeds open to a lot of just climate changes.
I don't know. Ben told me also that he had a number of seeds come in regular seed packets, no problem whatsoever. So yeah. I wonder if it's some of these highfalutin places. I don't know if they got some. I don't know. It's like everybody who deals with this one particular company, and there's several out there, that they always seem to have problems. But honestly, she said 85%. It even says on the seed packet that it's 85%. And so far, everything I see out, every single tray out there is absolutely popping out of that thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to really say. Is. I mean, it's
and the cool thing about those seed packets, I really like the seed packet part. That's what I really like about them. And you, those are seed packets you want to reuse.
Yeah, you could easily, and it's already marked for you. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of handy. So honestly, man, I'm pretty pleased about the fact. I figured these people were not. It's cool that there are other people out there that advertise and over deliver. You know. So if you're telling me 85 and this thing pulls out 100, we'll do a video on it in the future. I mean, we'll let them come up a little bit more so you can see them. But just so far, I mean, there ain't a one of them things that I saw that wasn't popping up. So that's good news. So check out Heaven's Harvest. They got all kinds of stuff, water filters, food, all that good stuff. And apparently seeds that actually do what they're supposed to do. How about that? Yep. See if you have any kind. Okay, for anybody out there that ever bought some of these, quote, survival seeds, let me know what the germination rate is on that. Because back in the day, you want to ask me what the rate was on any of those, ain't exactly what you might think it is. All right, so if you want, also remember you can tip a pimp on the Fountain app. Go over there, check out all your other podcasts. You can look at it. You can listen to just about everything over there. If it has a podcast, you can triple up the speed. And if you want, you can go ahead and drop some sats.
And make sure the podcast you're listening to is claimed that podcast. Otherwise, they're just not getting the satoshis.
Right. It's going in thin air, I would imagine.
It's going to nobody. I think it's just going to empty nothing.
All right. Well, there's something there.
I'm guessing.
It's empty money. I mean, it's not. I'm not touching it. So I guess, you know, to some extent or another, it's there. Plus, you can also do it with other podcasters out there. I want to give a hat tip to Jack Spearco for making me aware of the Fountain app. So, Jack, master of a whole lot of things, and good advice is one of them, too. Can't wait to get him back on the show. All right, y'all, tip of the day. I hope I don't step on any toes when I say this, but folks, as homesteaders, if you're in business, if you're a podcaster, if you're a YouTuber, all of the above is what we do. We have businesses, some of which you may not know about, and you know, we wear a lot of hats. We do a lot of things. We're in constant education mode, which maybe I'll talk about in a minute here. But seek every opportunity to talk to a Jedi Master when you can. And what I mean by that is out there at this last festival, the farm where you live, it was a great experience.
Oh, yeah.
A little disappointing because I didn't get to spend as much time. It's a little bit frustrating when you have one-day events sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a little frustrating because you just kind of wet your beak. You're seeing friends that you don't ever get to see, but maybe a couple times a year. And then it's like as soon as you're there, you're kind of wetting your beak. And then it just feels like it ought to be a two-day thing.
I think there's pros and cons. If it's close by, yeah, I'm sure I'm fine with a two-day thing. If it's far away, the one-day events are a little bit more convenient.
But it's a long way to go for one day.
Yeah, it is still a long way to go for one day. But like the 2 days is pretty exhausting when you're talking to, I know when you're going there, everything is exciting. Like as an attendee, everything's exciting. You want to talk to everybody, but you don't really have to talk to everybody. I think it gets exhausting. Yeah, it really does.
It wears you out. Two ways about that because you're constantly on your bicycle. I mean, unless you're, you know, certain people that might view themselves as celebrities, maybe you show up at a certain time or, you know,
and I like talking to everybody. I don't want anybody to think that. I like talking to everybody. It just is tiring. Really is.
Yeah, it is. It wears you out, but honestly, for me, it's in a good way. And it took a good 2 solid days, and I didn't even, you know, I'm still kind of wore out from it. Yeah. But it's always a joy to be in the room with, like Pastor Lon said, with a bunch of other folks that you already know you probably got 99% or at least 90% of some things in common just by virtue of the fact that you showed up at this thing.
Yeah.
It's like if you were in the toy trains or whatever and you show up there, chances are you're going to probably have something in common. I mean, I don't care what the hobby is. My point is, no matter what the hobby is, if you go there or even if it's a trade show, you always have that very thing in common. And so the feeling out period is very minimal, but it's such a joy, but you just feel like, you kind of ripped off, at least I do. I always feel like I ripped off some people. Like maybe I was, you know, being swamped at the time or something, and I was trying to talk to somebody. Somebody I know has a question, and I never got a chance to, you know, find out what it is they wanted. Or we started a conversation, and then I never got to finish it. I go try to find that person, and then it's always a joy, but honestly, I wonder if these things ought to be more of a 2-day kind of gig.
I think I heard some feelings on the comments I had on goats on not getting them during my class.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think I heard some people's feelings. Well, sorry about that. It just doesn't, like in this area of the United States, it just doesn't make sense to have goats, at least with any of the varieties that I've have had experience with.
Well, I don't want anything to do with a goat either.
Yeah.
Plus, the mice freaked me out. But yeah. Anyway, tip of the day, y'all. Let's get back into that, son. Where I'm saying seek the opportunity to talk to every master you can. Here's what I'm getting at. You got arguably, and I don't think, you got arguably probably the greatest farmer that ever lived there, Joel Salatin.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could make an argument if you were to say who are the greatest farmers. Certainly, I can't think of a single person who has done more to inspire people living in apartments to get out and farm. I don't think there's anybody that even comes close.
Yeah.
I really don't even think there is a close second. And there was an odd thing that unfolded. There was like a content creators meeting at the end, and it's an opportunity for those people to interview Joel. Just 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was astonishing to me that almost nobody did it. And I'm thinking, yeah. So when I was asked if I wanted to pick up Joel from the airport, y'all, I jumped on it like nobody's business because it allowed me time to talk to Joel. It allowed me time to be able to pick him up, talk to him, and everything that comes out of his mouth, believe me, has value.
Yeah, he even dropped mom off before he went and picked up Joel.
Well, yeah, like, I dropped her off.
I need alone time with Joel.
Yeah, I dropped her off at the event, and then I went and got him Apparently something was messed up on the times because, you know, they got me doing laps. You can't sit there and wait for somebody. And I'm sitting there doing laps at this thing, and Joel, apparently his plane had gotten in quite early, and nobody knew that. But anyway, folks, if you get the chance, there were a number of times where he's sitting over there with a stack of books, and I'm like, I can't believe not everybody in this business isn't over there, or I don't care who you are, attendee or whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all, you have got access to a flipping genius who is almost single-handedly in so many different ways has changed the definition of farming.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people might not go up to him because they might be shy, or they think they might have a stupid question, or they just might not want to waste his, or they might think they're wasting his time. Y'all, he has, like, he is there for that. He has been paid to be there to answer your questions and sign your books.
And he wants to do it.
Yes, he does.
He wants to do it. He wants to engage. He is very much a people person. But even, like, for a lot of you other content creators out there, if you get this opportunity, even if you feel like you don't have intelligent questions, or you may not know enough about him, maybe listen to somebody else's interview. I'm like, this guy has written books on just about everything farm-related, including farm businesses.
Yep.
Farm structures. Right, farm structures, farm businesses. And there aren't many, especially that was a book that really needed to be written as far as businesses. And maybe we'll get into that more.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you have some people in this space that think they're fearful about making money, as strange as that is. Yeah, if you're doing something dishonest or you're selling some garbage product, yeah, you might be a little bit fearful. But also on the same token, if you want to get away from your 9-to-5 and do it full time the way we do, look, y'all, I'm not even going to kid you. It is a lot of work, but it is work that I enjoy from the time I wake up in the morning until the time I go to bed at night. And literally, I am working in some capacity. I mean, what is it right now? Like 8:12 p.m. I've been up, and you've been up since I don't know when, and my day isn't going to stop. And guess what? I'm loving every minute of it. I really do.
Yeah.
So if this is your career and this is what you love, go, and I don't care what it is. It could be anything. Go out there and pursue it like it is the most important thing in the world to you. Like something I learned from John Willis out of SOE.
Yeah.
If you're doing it, you better be doing it like it's important. Now, you think, you know, okay, so I got a friend who's a multimillionaire in John Willis. You think I might want to listen to him?
Yeah.
You guys made millions and millions and millions of dollars, honestly, and he's giving you some advice. You might want to take it. Or if you get a chance to talk to him, you might want to take it. Every bit of advice that he's given us in terms of business has been gold.
Yeah, it has.
And we've employed it. And it's the same exact thing if you get the opportunity to talk to somebody like a Joel Salatin or anybody else. So seek those opportunities. I didn't mean to beat that dead horse. But I was like, I can't believe nobody's not over here talking to him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else in that place, as far as I'm concerned, is chopped liver. I mean,
yeah, including us.
Yes.
Like, if you have an opportunity to talk to us or Joel Salatin, go talk to Joel Salatin.
Yeah, if you got a choice, always talk to him. I mean, unless it's like something really specialized. I mean, I mean,
he's not going to have answers for you on the chicken tractor on steroids, probably.
Well, Randy, Jason's father-in-law, Jason at Sow the Land, his father-in-law.
He's awesome.
Yeah, Randy's, man, he's just fantastic, yeah. Dude. I can't wait to see him here in a couple of weeks doing that pig butchery out there, which, by the way, it's going to be out there here coming up on April 28th and 29th and May 5th and 6th. We'll have a link for that down below. Probably going to be the last time I'm butchering anything this year. And, folks, within the signs of the times, you might want to consider it. So no hard sell. If you want to be there, we're going to be doing it. And, yeah, we're going to give you your money's worth, too. But anyway, I was over there kind of lamenting that I don't mean to go on too much about this, but I think it's kind of important. I was over there. Anytime somebody wants to take a picture next to me, I don't even know how to react because I'm like, I don't understand for the life of me why anybody would want a picture with me. And there's a lot of people asking for that. And I feel really weird about that because I know the full extent of my ignorance. And I know that, yeah, are there things I know more than Joel about? Yeah. I know more about the chicken tractor on steroids than Joel. I know more about electric work than Joel. I know more about how to build structures than Joel.
Yeah.
There are things that you know more than Joel about. In certain aspects of soil science, I probably know more than Joel. But overwhelmingly, it is 100% guarantee that he knows more than me just by virtue of his experience.
Oh, you for sure.
And so when people are coming up wanting pictures, like that time we were at that restaurant and somebody comes up and asks for a picture, and yeah. I'm like, oh, well, Joel's right over there. They're like, well, who's that? And I'm like, what? Oh, you want a picture with me? No, I don't understand that. I mean, yeah. I'm nothing special. And anybody out there that knows me will tell you, man, I'm not. I mean, I feel uncomfortable when the waitress at the restaurant is waiting on me. I'm not even comfortable with that. I don't like anybody waiting on me like I'm somebody special. And it's weird when people come up and want a picture. And then Randy said to me, after I said it about to the third, I think it was the third time somebody had asked for a picture. And I guess as an embarrassment, I could just kept saying, well, I don't know why you'd want a picture with me. And Randy finally pulled me aside. He says, hey, man. And Randy's a very wise man, dude. He's just a joy to get to know. And I'm edified every time I'm around him. He says, man, you really need to recognize the fact that, okay, so Joel inspired you, but you're inspiring these other people, man. So, you know, take a bow, you know, if somebody, he had a more eloquent way of putting it.
Yeah.
It made better sense, like only Randy can do. But he, you know, it's cool when you have people out there, wise people like Randy that can, you know, tighten you up. And it made me feel a little bit better about it. But honestly, I know that I work really, really hard. Nobody's going to outwork me. Ain't no two ways about that. And I study hard. I learn my craft, and I know what I know very well. And I'm always trying to learn more about it. But I'm never going to get to the point where you're going to see me put up an embroidered tent at one of these gatherings. You're never going to see, you know, you're never going to see a line. I'm not going to put up tape up there for you to get in and out.
You might see security though.
You're never going to see any of that stuff, y'all. I mean, I'm always going to be. You just put a tent up and. You know, if it's decorated, you blame Michelle for that. But I guarantee it. Shelly from Two Old Crows because she saved our bacon. Oh, we showed up at that event, and Shelly's like, okay, y'all just stand back.
Man, we had piles.
We didn't know what we were doing setting this table up.
We had handwritten note cards with prices.
Man, Shelly walked in there, and you talk about turning a silk purse into a sow's whatever, you know what I'm saying. The point is, man, no. I'm sitting there looking at this pile of stuff. All I know is we got product. We got tablecloths. And Shelly's like, y'all just.
Yeah, we thought we did good because we had tablecloths and a sign.
Yeah, we're like, we got this. We got dirty tables. And she's over here putting this thing together, man. By the time she was done, you thought Martha Stewart rolled up in there.
Oh, man.
I mean, Shelly, boy, she knows how to save somebody's bacon, man.
But, every single time.
So make some ball and soap, man. I know that. So if y'all, hey, go get some at HickoryRidgeSoap.com at TwoOldCrowsHomestead.com. So let's kind of drift on into the farm news. I think we did a lot of that already.
Yeah.
So for me, man, it's been nonstop studying in between. Now I want to point this out. Now I do this power list and it's five things every day. I just got to get done. If I get that done, the day is technically a winner. And I'm also doing this 75 hard. And we've talked about that before. And I was struggling before in the very beginning of this, like how on earth am I going to possibly I'm already a very, very, very busy person. I'm like, how am I going to do this? Well, it has made me very efficient. We covered that too. And part of what I'm adding in there is I just finished Greg Judy's latest book, and I'm going to reach out to him and see if I can go ahead and, get him on for an interview. I think everybody'd love that. Also, Joel, he's out of town. We'll try to reach out to him. Now that we got a little bit off the plate, we got a couple of butcheries coming up, but we got a lot of what we need off the plate right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get on some interviews, y'all, that I think are going to be very, very, very beneficial to folks out there. I know they've been kind of disjointed, and we'll put that out as a Wednesday edition. But yeah, part of what I'm doing is that I basically dismissed a lion's share of the podcast that I'd been listening toward during the day, and I've replaced it 90% with educational material that has to do with farming and soil science.
Yeah.
I'm going through a soil science class right now, and I'm most of the way through. Michelle's been through. She's going through the microscope portion of it right now, and before it's all said and done, we will be able to do some pretty astonishing things around here. And it's also another business element, but that's something in the future. And I'm not even, like I said, until I take this thing for a test drive, I'm not 100% sure on everything, but so far everything is panning out. But what I'm finding out is not only am I achieving my study quotient. Yeah, for the day, not only am I getting that done, in addition to that, I'm doing way more.
Yeah.
I'm doing way more than what I planned. So just because you got to read 10 pages a day doesn't mean I'm not reading a lot more than that. Or this time that I allocate during the day or in the very morning, like this morning, I got to, you know, way up. Your mom's alarm for some reason, man, went off at oh dark 30. By that time, I had to get up and I was up and I only got about 5 hours of sleep. And I'm like, okay, I'm up now, man. There ain't no going back to sleep at this point. So I get up and then I start studying and then I take the next test.
Yeah, so, I got up to pee and dad was awake.
Yeah, I was up here. I was up here, you know, studying and taking a test because I'm going to get through this. Because once again, y'all, this is my craft. I am a farmer. I am becoming a, something of a soil guru here after a while. And I'm going to find ways in which to convey this information. And it means long days sometimes, but I love every minute of it. I love what I'm learning. And it's an astonishing thing inside and out. But that's one of the things I'm doing as far as farm news. Big, big study. I'm revealing a little bit more about the nature of the study. I only said that we were studying. Yeah. Now, you at least know that it has to do with soil science, and it's through Dr. Elaine Ingham. So I'll let you know how all that pans out. But, y'all, so far, it is looking good. Also, up the hill here, son, a video that needs to be done is the before and after, and maybe we could start on that tomorrow when we move those sheep into a new paddock. We have had, from the time we moved in here, nothing but awful. We told you how jacked up the forest was and the whole nine yards. And we finally come up with a, I would say a method. I would almost call it a method in how we systematically clear all the things that need to come out of a woody space, particularly a forest that we want to first turn into silver pasture and possibly into something else.
Yeah.
Very steep slope. And we talked about it before. Pigs go through, then, you know, the sheep go through. But we've come up with these ways. This is part of what I'm learning. Instead of just taking all your sticks and brush and everything else out of there, why not just chop it up in place with the chainsaw? And then what's going to break that down, son?
The fungi.
Right. All through the woods. I mean, when you have a forest system, I'm like, I feel like a complete freaking dummy right now. Because so much of what, like all that big pile of wood that you got up near the front.
Yeah.
We could have just chopped that up in place and all you're doing, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, why am I not doing this? I remember seeing Jeff Lawton do something like that one time. And I'm like, well, why am I not just chopping these branches up in place? It's fungal food. It's a then when you chop it up smaller, it makes it break down even faster.
Well, there's a couple of those dead trees that are falling down, like those really, really old ones that have been down there for a while.
Yeah.
We could chop those up into rounds and then just obliterate them with the maul. And they'll turn into perfect fungi food. Because they're like so soft and spongy. It's not anything you want to put in the fireplace. It's good for like bone sauce, but...
Yeah, but think about how this is the definition of permaculture, son.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a place that is really, really has been mismanaged for years and years. So your pigs get a meal out of it. Your sheep get a meal out of it. The trees you want to keep, they get a meal out of it.
Yep.
And at the same time, I'm doing my 75 hard outside workout, chopping down these little saplings that ain't, or trees that ain't no good.
Yeah.
And I'm feeding, so every single level all the way up to the trees is getting a meal out of this, and then we're creating a fungal dominant system. I got to see a little bit more how we want to do this in terms of a silva pasture area.
Yeah. But
essentially, it is going, almost certainly going to be fungal dominant, and I think we've come up with a really awesome systematic way that might be a lot of help to a lot of people out there, because you think
It's going to be hard to convey on camera, though.
I think our time.
I think if we do a drone shot from before, like above before and then above after, I think that would help.
Well, I don't know that you can with the tall trees. I mean, you can give it a shot, but
yeah.
Excuse me. Point being is that I think after having done this for a long time, I think we found some really awesome systematic ways in which when you look at a giant piece of area and you're like, how on earth am I going to get in it? Well, use your paddocks while your animals are in there. Don't clear anything but what?
What they've already hit.
Or what they're already in. Stripped.
Yeah.
So we're knocking down these saplings and the rams are eating it up. They love that.
Yeah.
They're eating 100% almost of saplings because there ain't no grass up there. They're eating legit tree hay, 100%. They're not getting any grass or anything else. And so they're getting fed. Every single part of this is being fed. And I'm willing to bet that back, I know that back in the old days, all the way back to the Roman Empire, this is how it was done.
This is how we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, I guess I went a little bit long in the tooth. All right, y'all. So with that said, we're going to go into my pastor, homesteading pastor, right now.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture I want to share with us today. It's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what I want to focus on today is the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, the blood of Jesus still cleanses one's soul. It still forgives one's sins. It makes one whole again. It brings newness to life to one's soul. It's still as powerful today as it was the day it ran down Calvary's hill. It still changes one's direction once the blood is applied. And it'll also change who you are on the inside. Therefore, Jesus will show up on the outside as you walk in the light, in the newness of life, as you have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus.
All right. Well, I guess there might have been a little technical difficulty there, but hey, you got it. You got it right there.
No, there wasn't because I edited it out.
Oh, well, how about that?
There you go.
Well, Pastor Lon, y'all, he was, go check him out, y'all, YouTube, Pastor Lon Homesteading. Well, look up Homesteading Pastor, not the Homesteading Pastor, just Homesteading Pastor. So many people were so glad to finally meet him and put a name to a face.
Yep, him and Miss Robbie Lynn.
Yeah, Miss Robbie. I mean, and it's always, you know, your mom really just, I don't know, there's just a real good fellowship between her and Miss Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
They both got the same personality types, I think, all the way down to it. I mean, both, I mean, down to
everything.
And then me and Pastor Lon are more the gregarious types. And so we had a little time cutting up. I wish I could have hung out with them longer. I wish, you know, we could have had dinner or something with them.
They met everybody that walked in that door, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Lon, boy, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, you going to chase demons out of Asheville? He said, well, they ain't coming back to South Carolina. He said, they ain't coming back with me. Yep. So
I almost titled that video, that latest video that we came out, has Pastor Lon in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I almost titled it, like, Chasing Demons and Teaching Farmers.
That would have been a pretty good title.
Yeah.
He probably got a kick out of that,
Well, we too. Probably would have got flagged, too, so I wasn't too sure how that was going to play out.
You never know, man.
But it's in the wrong genre, the coast-chasing genre.
Yeah, how about that? All right, y'all. So we're going to get straight into the bad news, good news section. Remember, if you need a Harvest Right freeze dryer, we got those down below as well in the description box. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, the description box if you're on YouTube, and then the show notes if you're on any podcast player.
Hey, y'all, don't forget also that it helps us apparently a lot if you can leave a review there, 5-star rating. I know you got a lot on your plate, but hey,
I think another knife giveaway is in order.
Well, maybe we'll have to go ahead and do that, son.
Yep.
So we'll talk about it maybe on Thursday. We'll see what we can pull together. So for every one bad news, we always give you two good. Right now, check this one out, y'all. Always farm related and something like this. Check this out. Armed federal agents threaten Amish farmer, embrace pesticide or be destroyed. In a nutshell, it's the same outfit coming after these same people for selling raw milk to people that want it.
They haven't seen the Amish mafia? They better watch out.
I don't. I tell you what, man. I don't know where the bottom is on some of this stuff. I mean, you can sit here. They can sit here and put GMO stuff on the shelf. They can sit here and shoot you up with who knows what in a shot. They can sit here and, you know, drop depleted uranium all over the Middle East, and then now they're threatening to do it supposedly in the latest conflagration that they got going.
Well, they're claiming to fight, or they're claiming to be like peacekeepers and fighters of terrorism and all that stuff. They're the one terrorizing the Amish.
Yes.
They're just selling milk. They're doing everything. They're not forcing anybody to buy raw milk. It's not like they're holding their musket up to somebody's head saying, you better buy this milk.
Yeah, well, I don't think they even have muskets
with
anymore.
Their wooden buckets.
Yeah, but I mean, the part that's just absolutely mind-boggling to no end is that this, I just don't know where the bottom is. I really don't know at what point people finally say I had enough. I mean, and that's a rhetorical statement for me, because I know that we've hit a level of depravity in this country that only starvation can cure. I'm like, come on, man.
But it also shows that you can't be inactive either, because you can be like, what's more detached than the Amish society in the United States? And they're even being pestered.
Well,
so you can't just be inactive and not, and just sit like, okay, everybody else will take care of it, because they're going to come after you, even though you're not doing anything, quote unquote, illegal.
Well, you're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved. I mean, one way, you're either going to be the jellyfish floating in the ocean, or you can try to be that shark or killer whale or whatever the case may be. You are either an activist or an inactivist, one way or another. So, folks, you better stand up and start kicking some butt. And I mean that, figuratively. I don't mean that. I'm not promoting violence. I just
don't go out
say,
pimp slapping any liberals or anything like that. That's not what we mean.
But that's exactly what they would want to see happen. It's the powers that shouldn't be out there that are doing all this garbage. And, here we are once again fighting among each other. And not to say these aren't worthy fights, but come on, man. You got child sex trafficking happening all over at the Mexican border right now. You're worried about some people slinging milk?
Yeah. And also realize that, like, the people that they, like the liberals, the people that have been fooled probably second or the most, the Republicans are the second most, I would say. But the people that have been fooled the most, keep in mind that they aren't our enemies either. They've just been fooled. We need to try to remember that and realize that they're, because they want us to view them as enemies.
Yeah, but don't start no SH and there won't be no IT when it comes to a lot of those people too. I mean, serious, man. You don't go getting up in anybody's face. And that's what a lot of these people from that camp have not yet realized. For most of my life, I've worked around guys that if you go running your mouth in the wrong way, guess what? Those little chiclets you see at the bottom of that toilet are probably going to be your teeth. And these people run their mouths and they get up in people's faces not knowing that there are people out there that will put you through a 5-minute flurry of fists.
Yeah, so especially in Asheville. It's especially prevalent in Asheville. People don't understand that, like, conversation can escalate to violence if one person decides so.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not justification, it's just a possibility.
Well, and then there's just people out there, you do the wrong thing to the wrong old boy, and I know a lot of them. And I'm like, man, he must have never rolled. I mean, these guys will run their mouth and they'll get in your face. You say the wrong thing. I know these people. There's a lot of guys I know in the electric trade that I came up with, a lot of guys in the construction trades that I came up with. And I'm just like, man, boy, if these people run their mouth at some people I know, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a bad day, Jack. So let's move on to this next one. So this is kind of good news. I mean, I guess it's good news to me. All right, so basically, check this out. The NHS, National Health Service, has basically figured out that mask mandates made no difference to COVID-19 transmission rates in hospitals.
And still,
everybody out there, not everybody, but a whole lot of people are still wearing them.
It did make a difference. It contaminated more people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I forget how many studies, number of people out there had those masks tested and every filthy thing you could think of sitting on that mask.
Also reduced oxygen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so NHS came out with that story. You could sit here and show it to these same people we were just talking about a moment ago, and it won't make a hill of beans worth a difference.
They'll say they're being extra cautious because somebody is immunocompromised.
And that was the thing that every last one of these people would say. Yep. Sir, can you put on your mask? I'm like, I'm not. Why? Why would I need to wear a mask? Well, we have somebody. And then before they'd even say it, like the person that was running that little health food store in Mars Hill, she says, I said, why would I need to put on a mask? And before she even said it, I said, let me guess, somebody's immunocompromised, right? I just stopped her and she's, because I had already heard it 10 times by then. And I'm like, okay, well, that was a little marching order that they gave to all these marchies out there.
Hey, but also the best response on earth is to say, it's illegal for me to wear a mask while carrying a weapon.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, it is. If you open carry, you can't wear a mask.
I don't think you can wear a mask and conceal carry.
Well, I know for sure open carry. We'd have to look that up.
Yeah. But just say that and that should shut everybody up.
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, no doubt. But I'll tell you what, y'all, you got my word. I've been saying this from son. How long? What have I been saying? Next time they decide to pull another mask mandate, I'm going to make the most viral video y'all have ever seen in your life.
Dad's going to have to figure out how to film it by himself. I ain't trying to see Dad walk up into a store naked with a mask
Here's
on.
Here's how it's going down. I'm going in there. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, it's going
to
happen.
We'll take volunteers to record this.
No, I mean, this is going to happen. I'll film it myself. I don't even care, man. I'm going to roll up in there. They're going to say, dude, like that one, there was that place, it was a chocolate place. Sir, we need you to wear a mask. And I said, how come? And, you know, I was being, you know, I was giving them back what they gave, I guess. And I was being obstinate. And so here's how it's going to go down. Sir, could you wear a mask? And I'm like, for what? And I'm going to ask why. Well, we're afraid and we're blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so if I wear a mask and I come back, you'll let me in? Yeah, no problem. Okay, I'll go get a mask. I'm going to walk outside that store. I'm going to walk right back in wearing a mask, buck naked. And I'm going to walk up to that counter and I'm going to film it. And then when they go in there, they're going to lose their ever-loving minds when I walk up in there. And they're going to be like, sir, sir, we can't have, you got to go. And I'm like, and I'm going to ask, what, is it because I'm black? And I guarantee you, I guarantee.
This is going to have to go on Rumble. It's not going to make it on YouTube. It's going to make it for 5 seconds on YouTube.
I don't care. But the only way, honestly, with a lot of this nonsense that goes on right now, and it's what JP is really extraordinary at. JP is this comedian, red-haired guy.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, JP. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
Very clever. And he's extraordinary at demonstrating the absurd by being absurd.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it just to demonstrate, because the number one thing is that the power that shouldn't... Lou Rockwell said this years ago, and he's been saying it ever since. The thing that the powers that shouldn't be cannot stand, what they detest, is to be laughed at. For their policies to be laughed at. They are such megalomaniacs that they can't endure a laugh at their expense or regarding their policies.
Hey,
I
just thought of, okay, we're going to record the whole thing, even bailing dad out of jail. And when we're in court, they're going to ask you maybe why you did it. And you could say you didn't get your reparations from the city. Because every other person of color, I don't even know how they judge that, but every other person of color in Asheville got their reparations. Dad didn't.
I'm saying, all I wanted was a reparations donut.
Yep.
Bunch of racists up in this courtroom.
And then he gets the whole restaurant.
Yeah. Hey, how about it, man? You know, oh boy, that would drive them nuts. You know, I bet they wouldn't even run me out. No. They wouldn't even call the cops a second. No. Is this got something to do with the color of my skin?
I was thinking also this would be a good way to get like clothes for donations. Like every winter, you just roll up into a coffee shop butt naked.
Oh, yeah.
See if you don't leave with everybody's clothes, and then we could just drop it off at a donation center.
Or go in there, wear that mask like a diaper. Literally just go in there. I got your mask on. I got the mask on, nephew.
Like a hammock.
You told me if I walked in here and I got... All right, so I'll move on to the next one. We're going a little sideways here. All right, so check this out. RFK Jr. exposes globalist plan to use health crisis to impose New World Order tyranny. This is another reason why I'm glad he's running for president, if for no other reason than he's going to be able to inject some of this stuff on a debate stage. And because he is, in fact, a Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as a matter of fact, and he is an extraordinary, even though he has voice issues, He is a very eloquent speaker in his own way, and he has a very good command of the English language. So if he can get into the race, if for no other reason, I'm not in this, believe me, y'all, please don't think for a minute I'm not in the middle of this left-right paradigm, as they call it. Not anything to do with it. I know they're all polecats. But what I'm hoping is that a classical liberal, like I suspect he is probably going to inject some common sense out there, and maybe some of the people that are reluctant to believe something because it might have come from, let's say, Alex Jones or somebody like that, that maybe if they hear the same exact thing come out of the mouth of somebody like a RFK Jr., if they don't manage to do another ambassador hotel on him, I wonder if they'd be more apt to want to, you know, take it. Maybe they might actually believe it.
I'm just weary to trust anybody that's running for power at this point. I mean,
I agree.
Like, I'm more interested in the fiefdom idea.
Yep.
To get to a point where whoever's elected doesn't really matter to this community.
That's what I'm talking about, y'all. We're going to get into it when we get back. Alrighty, y'all, back to the topic at hand. Before we get into it, I want you to know EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Don't forget about that little micro they got out there. And just remember, the EMP, yes, it will stop that stuff coming to your house and blowing up your stuff. But most importantly, lightning protection, that is your biggest number one threat. Well, it used to be, so maybe EMP might have trumped that these days. We'll see.
Well, the cool thing about it, and I didn't really know this about EMPs, but it stops it for the entire duration of an EMP, which I don't know if y'all knew, but that can last like 12 hours.
Well, you know what's really cool is,
I thought it was just like a burst and done. At least that's the way it is in like video games or movies.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be a coronal mass ejection. It could be any number of things. And then people are like, well, what good is driving your car? Look, man, I just need to get home. That's all I need to do. That's all I got it there for. Get me home. I'm not trying to go down to the beach or, you know, anywhere else. So, all right, so we're going to drift into the topic, y'all. This one is relevant because we had like a family meeting today, I guess you can call it that. And it consisted of, a while back, tell me if you can relate. Okay, so you think you're on a certain path. And you got to remember that when you do this kind of work or any other thing where you work primarily for yourself and you do a number of other things and you have businesses and different moving parts, it's not like a speedboat where you go from one side of the lake to the other or one side of the ocean to the other. It's like a sailboat where, like, you know, you take a wind one way, you tack another way. You don't go in a straight line in a sailboat, but generally you're heading in the right direction.
Well, it's also like this. I saw this like a short video. It was a short, I think, a YouTube short. And it was this guy, and he was walking up this flight of stairs. And off to the side of him was this trampoline. And it was supposed to represent becoming successful or success. And he would walk up a couple stairs, fall off, hit the trampoline, bounce, and pass a few more stairs, walk a couple more, and then fall and bounce. And then he'd drop back down to the first one, and then walk back up, and then it kept going back and forth. And I think that's a pretty good visual representation of what kind of the path is.
Sometimes it can be. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be going down or you don't want to be going backwards, but sometimes that happens, especially in farm work.
And it's a learning experience.
Also, well, and it's, yeah. Also, when you're doing experiments or trying new methods and techniques or trying to advance something like we're in the middle of doing right now with so many different things.
Or
like,
partnerships.
Well, that's another thing right there.
Yeah.
But some of us become a little bit obstinate on this path. We feel like it ought to be a speedboat when in fact it is a sailboat. And like Andy Frisella has talked about, so many people try to get into a business opportunity. They stick it for a couple of years and then they think, okay, this ain't working. I'll jump to the next thing. And if we had done that, we wouldn't be doing anything that we're doing right now. So you stay on it. You become really good at your craft. You become better at it. But here's the thing that I really want to point out is that we had a little family meeting. And the last time we did one of these, it's like a business meeting. Last time we did this, we had a direction and a plan in which we intended to go. And then when you get new information or something changes or you get just a better, what you think is a better idea, and you don't convey that information to everybody else, you can find that everybody's going in a different, nobody's rowing in the right direction.
Right.
Forget all the boat metaphors, but I think you get the point. Is that you're you know, if one person's rowing backwards and the other one's going forward and another one's, you got a coxswain back there just twisting his boat, whatever, you're not going anywhere. So we have to have these meetings periodically, which we don't do often enough, to say, okay, is the direction we're on exactly where we need to be going? And it could be regarding preparedness.
Yeah.
It could be regarding, you know, how you're building your homestead or what you're working on. And believe me, that happens a lot. like right now, you know, without a lot of trial and error, we wouldn't have come up with a way that is without a doubt for us the most efficient way to clear a forest.
Yeah, that, and the biggest bang. I mean, some might argue like getting a forest mulcher or something like that is the most efficient way, but this is getting like multiple functions out of the same piece and getting multiple beneficial results. We're fattening up, we're feeding the sheep. We're
pigs.
Yeah, we fed the pigs twice because they've been cycled through there twice.
Yeah,
different pigs. We're feeding the sheep. We're feeding the soil. We're getting a more productive piece of property as well. I mean, there's multiple benefits just from doing it this way.
But it required, okay, so to get to that point where we found this very, very efficient way of doing this took a whole lot of failure along the way with methods that didn't work as well.
And changing of direction as well.
Right, like the whole thing about us mulching, for example, in place, I just came up with that yesterday. As far as doing that.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I mean, it was yesterday. I was like, why are we sitting here dragging this stuff out? This is just stupid. Yeah. We sat here, spent all this time dragging this stuff out, where now you got to consider the, now if the next rotation was going to be pigs, you don't want to necessarily put a whole lot of wood litter on the ground because they're going to run it all up in your fence.
There's your second tip of the day.
Yeah.
Don't put a bunch of wood litter in your pig pen because they will run it into your electric fence and get over your fence.
Right. You got to know what you plan on doing with this thing. But because we have a very dead forest, you know, it took time. It took, okay, we were doing it one way to begin with.
Yeah.
And that was months ago. And then with time, it's like you had to reevaluate. Okay, most people would go on and just do it the way they've done. We've sought ways to make this easier, more efficient, and in a way that is in accordance with permaculture because it's earth care, people care, and abundance given to the previous two. Well, in every case, there has not been a single waste. Those lambs, those sheep up there, or rams rather, they're over there eating every single leaf off of every single sapling we tear down. They're not even eating grass.
Yeah.
They are eating
because tree there ain't
hay.
Any.
Yeah, we are feeding them 100% tree hay right now.
Actually, no, they do have access to grass.
But they don't eat it.
Yeah, I guess they prefer the tree hay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're eating the tree hay.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while that it may be a little rich for them. They might grab a little bit of the hay that we're using to cover up some of the bare spots. But
right. But
what I'm trying to get you to think about, folks, is there are so many people that get on a like, hey, this is what I'm going to do on my farm, or this is what I'm going to do with my guerrilla gardening plot, or this is what I'm going to do with my backyard, and you stay committed and married to that idea, even though you might have information that might make that a way more efficient endeavor.
Like, you might start a garden in one spot, and you may have been in that spot for like 5 years. And you might have a certain technique that you've been doing for 5 years, but if you find a better technique, you should make that pivot. And it doesn't have to be all at once. Like, or even if you're a conventional farmer and you just now found permaculture, you should make that pivot. And like in the permaculture design manual, it shows a 5-year transition. It doesn't show like, well, here's year 2023 where they were a conventional farm and 2024 and now they're completely switched over.
Right, but... And then let's kind of swing this into the business area too, or as a family. We do everything as a family. We work as a family. And we're still in the process. You know, the three of us basically do this full time, and Kendra does it part time.
Yeah.
And the idea is to get the entire family.
And Emily does it part time.
Yeah. But she's, you know, an RN, and she's got, you know, a career that she's good at and does, you know. And so while she's doing that, ultimately the plan is to get. You know, I don't see what's so wrong with the Waltons kind of thing, man, where the whole family is in very close proximity, even under the same roof to a certain extent.
The Rockefellers did it too.
Yeah, yeah.
It worked out for them. Well, worldly.
Well, yeah, and you could also say that with a lot of other dynastic families and stuff too. But when it comes to being on a path in which you think, I guess what I'm saying, because it's part of a lot of the conversations I'm having as of late, is everybody stays committed to an idea. You may have this burnout. Had a conversation with a friend where it's burnout. And yeah, I get it. It's real. It can be real. But part of that, I think, is not, maybe there's not something that has given you a new adventure. And that adventure doesn't always have to be in the form of, you know, this work. I'll tell you what, the like one of the new chapters in my life, I'm a lifelong learner. And I picked up Greg Judy's latest book, read it, and I'm like, okay, there's some real nice nuggets of wisdom in there. And then also this soils course. And I'm like, my mind is blown with what I am finding out. So by every metric, I should be burned out. And maybe I would if I wasn't constantly bringing up new challenges, new hurdles. And it's more difficult for other people to do that. But also keep in mind, in accordance with the topic we're talking about, is that in that direction, you don't have to go completely off of what you're doing. Maybe just find a new path, a new route, a new tact, whatever it takes to get to that thing, but using another method altogether. Because honestly, the method we've come up with, if we'd have just stuck with the same way we were doing things from the time you were at the bottom of that mountain when you started until now, has evolved to a point where I don't know that it could, well, I mean, maybe it can, but I don't know how. It has become so turnkey that we are doing this with such high efficiency that when you see the thicket and the nasty briars and everything else, and how we're bringing all this to bear and what it looks like afterwards, I think it's going to be mind-boggling.
Well, the only way we could become more efficient doing that is by introducing more sheep to the system, because we can clear one of those fence lines in a day. They could eat it in probably 2 to 3 days and then do the same thing over and over again. Like, that would be the only way to increase efficiency.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're eating a bunch of multiflora rows and stuff like that. And you know, we don't necessarily, I mean, that's a clear indication your soil isn't wonderful. So the idea is, if we can get it from a bacterial dominated system into something that's more fungal dominated, guess what? A lot of your problems go away, but believe me, that's another episode altogether. Look, what I'm trying to get you all to realize right now, and it's important, because we just had we just dealt with it today within our own ranks, is that if you're not careful, if you're doing this as a family, as a team, as a group of families hoarding up, if you don't constantly sit down and make sure everybody's rowing in the right direction, by the time you do take stock of it, like it was with us, everybody is going in another direction. It wasn't all together. So that's what we are constantly working on and constantly trying to build. All right, when we get back, y'all, straight into the Q&A. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster before I hit the beach. Dad, I gotta start it off with this comment from the Fountain app. We're into Q&A now, y'all, and this is the comment from the Fountain app. Danny OTK154. Whatever happened to Thuggy the Cat? Hashtag composted. Yeah.
No. Thuggy's still around. She's out there meowing right now, actually.
Yeah, so we're getting her fixed on Wednesday, and your mom did everything she possibly could to push it back further and further. This cat is in a constant meow state. She's in heat, man. And she is driving everybody absolutely crazy, and your mom seems to think it's, I don't know what she thinks. All I know is Wednesday can't get here quick enough. And Thuggy, after that, is going to be an outside cat like she always was meant to be.
Just like Emily's cat, Doris.
Well, look.
That fat cat's going to lose some weight.
Every last one of these animals, I don't like animals in the house to begin with. I don't like I ain't ever going to have another cat or dog or anything else in the house ever again. It's bad enough cleaning up after people, man. But dogs, cats, I mean, I can see the hair flying off of this stupid cat. It jumps up in my lap, and I'm like, man, what is going on?
Yeah, don't let Dad fool you. He cuddles with the cat all the time.
You ain't ever caught me cuddling with nothing.
yeah, because he's secretive about it.
All right, we got one from Elisha. Hey, Billy, what are the pimp cat's views on using quinoa as chicken feed? I read that it was initially developed as livestock feed and grain for Maya and Inca. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, for sure.
But you got to ask yourself, is the efficiency of... I mean, how are you getting this quinoa? Are you growing it? Are you, well, probably not growing it.
You might have a restaurant he might be getting it from.
Could be, yeah. I mean,
because it's like a rice alternative, so it might fill the same spot.
Yeah. on that same token, with when it comes to quinoa, I mean, if is your price point, if you're paying for it, I mean, I don't know if it's worth it. If,
yeah, you know, do an audit, like a it. Like a price audit.
I mean, if you're getting it from a restaurant, yeah, that's probably not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. Got one from Strider 47. Permapasture pimps be selling comfrey with planned obsolescence. Hold up, they're doing it right. The plan is for them to become obsolete. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag catch Jack.
You said it all right there.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Sure. Ryan Armstrong. Oops. Sorry, I didn't mean to give your last name. Sorry about that. Could you please explain what system a nitrogen fixing tree goes through to make it a necessity? As far as annuals, how do you use plants like beans to do their jobs? Leave alone, harvest, and what do you do with the plant at the end of the season? As a fellow suspenders wearer, I was wondering if Joel, did Joel have his own when you picked him up at the airport, or did the shampoo and brownie bow tie police confiscate them? Thank you, and God bless you and yours. Yeah, this is a, well, the structure is difficult to read. But anyway, I'm not quite sure what he's asking here. Can you explain what the system, what system a nitrogen-fixing tree goes through to make it a necessity? Basically, in a nutshell, I'm not quite sure. I'll answer what I think you're asking. Is basically a nitrogen-fixing tree is taking atmospheric nitrogen and putting it down into the soil for the benefit of the trees around it.
Or I think he's asking, what system would you put nitrogen-fixing trees in? Like, what systems would they be necessary in? And as far as annuals, how do you use plants like beans to do their job? Okay. So, like, what systems are you putting nitrogen fixers in to make them useful? Okay, for example, if you have an apple tree right here, a nitrogen fixing tree 50 feet away doesn't do the apple tree any good.
Right.
So you want them in like close proximity to what you want it to fertilize.
You want them also to be the beneficiary of some of the mycorrhizal fungal stuff that's going on down in those roots. And there's a series of things you really, it's not just the, it's not the white stuff, it's the red stuff that you want down there. That's yeah. That's a more difficult.
You want, so if you're going to use beans, you just keep in mind with all nitrogen fixers, you want the roots to interact with whatever you're wanting to fertilize. You want the roots to interact as a general idea for right now.
Yeah, you want them in, yeah, because we could really go in the weeds right here. Yeah, you want them in very close proximity. So yeah, they're going to take some of that. We've proven, I think, in numerous test cases out here and in elsewhere, where when we put nitrogen fixers in very close proximity to our fruiting trees and stuff like that, we have almost no problems, and they grow faster than we can. They almost grow too fast.
Yeah.
It's freaky how fast they grow.
Yeah, yeah, literally overnight. Like, there's stuff that I've just harvested and replanted, and the leaves are already coming back. I got one from Yahweh's Farmstead. Great episode, my brothers. Talking about episode 84. Miss meeting y'all at the farm where you live. Watched William's class. Hat tip to you, my friend. Thank you. Michelle is a godsend. Blessed us with twice the number of comfrey crowns I paid for. My fiance asked if her milk, if asked her if Milk Boy was with y'all. She loves that puppy. Can't wait to meet y'all one day, whether in this world or the next. God bless. Stay alert. Stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay alert so we can stay longer in this one for a little while longer.
Thank you for attending my class also.
Yeah. Thanks for the kind words.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We'll have to tell your mom about that. So this one here from Steven, honorable pimps. I want to let you know at the hearing, turn that simp into a pimp, followed by the enthusiastic bam. Every episode is one of my highlights of my day. Okay, well, a lot of other people seem to like that as well, too.
Yeah.
It was pretty organic how that came about. But it works, so we're going to keep it up.
Yeah. Got one from Strong Roots Resources. Hey, Billy and William, one of my customers is interested in having me convert a portion of her lawn, fescue sod, into clover. The site is The site is zone 7 on a terraced hillside, full sun. Any tips on creating a successful conversion? Cut and roll up the sod, amend soil and sow. Best time of year. Thanks for all of the good info.
I don't know why you'd want to tear that up and just put in straight clover. I don't know why you'd want to do that. What you want is, well, first of all, it'd be helpful to know what you're actually going to do with that property.
Okay. Having worked in a similar field, I guess the landscaping field, like what the customer wants most of the time doesn't make any sense.
Like, is this for a customer?
Yeah, this is for a customer.
Okay.
Like, most, just because, like, she just might want it just because. I understand if that's the case.
I really don't even, I mean, that's not really what I do. I mean, here's the issue, is what we don't do is make something a monocrop or a single crop system.
I don't think it's going to be zone 7. I don't know what climate it's in.
Well, zone 7.
But I don't think the property is going to be big enough to be considered a monocrop. So you might be able to put in like a mix, maybe not just one clover.
I was going to say, I mean, in the zone 7, I don't know how you're going to get clovers kicking through the middle of dead of summer. I don't know how many clovers are going to want to do that.
Too.
I mean, you can get some Korean Lespedeza, maybe have
some
that
red
pop
clover,
up.
Right?
Yeah, but it's even in the dead of summer, you're not going to see that clover so much. So it helps. Maybe write back and let us know what the purpose is,
or,
because I can't really fully help you without knowing what the intent.
It might be just something pretty, but maybe try to sell her on the idea of doing like a multi-species, like wildflower mix or something like that. Something that'll like convince, like if it's full sun, clover ain't going to make it the whole time.
Or heavy
and
heat.
And also keep in mind, like the way to get rid of that fescue sod is probably going to be cutting it up, flipping it upside down, and then seeding on top of that and mulching on top of that.
Yeah, you could do that, but my brain, it's hard for me to even, I'm not trying to dodge the question because this is the polar opposite of what I do.
You don't have to answer that. Dad would not do very well in that kind of field, because if a customer wants something that doesn't make any sense, he just ain't going to do it.
No, I'm walking. I quit jobs over that before. I mean, back in the day, I mean, I will, if people ask me to do something that I don't like or
good.
Doesn't make any sense, I'm out.
I got this question, Dad.
Okay. Okay. That's all on you, nephew, because
you would want to probably cut up the sod, flip it upside down so the grass side is down. And that can decompose, and then seed on top of that, and then scatter mulch on top of that. But I would try to convince her out of the straight clover, probably into a better, you're going to know best what mix would work best in your area, but something that's going to stay, you know, pretty all year long.
Or maybe this just ain't, I mean, I don't know, man, if you're asking somebody to do something that's that illogical, I don't know if I'd want to work with them, man, because what else are they going to have you do? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
Dad,
you know
but
what
this
I'm saying?
Isn't like, this isn't like, hey, I want to graze.
Yeah, well, it helps, like, to know what the purpose
cows
was.
In this area. It's not like it's impossible. It just, Dad, it's all good. Yeah. I got the question.
Hey, hit up Eric Sider.
You got Dad all fired up on this.
No,
any landscape questions, just email me.
Yeah, y'all stick to him.
You then got Dad fired up at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not able to really comprehend that, because it's the polar opposite of anything I would
good.
Ever do. All right, y'all. So, G. Simpson. Ordered some of your bone sauce for the first time this year. My husband went out yesterday, and they were wondering why they can't smell it. I don't know why you can't smell it.
Did you have any snake venom recently?
Well,
I mean, COVID?
Here's what has me a little concerned, is that we're surprised there was no smell to it. We expected it to be pretty strong. And it seems like they said they put it around their food crops. Folks, we've had people use this stuff. I mean, it was honestly meant for deer in a orchard or food forest setting. And people are doing things with this stuff that ain't supposed to be done with it. Like mixing it with water. It's oil-based, first of all.
Fat-based.
Well, oil. But, I mean, if you're going to cut this stuff, you got to do it with, like, beef tallow or something like that. But I recommend you don't cut it at all. You can cut it up to 50%. But you can't stick this stuff in a thing of water, dump it in front of your lawn, and then wonder why the deer ain't, and then wonder why it ain't working. It's not how it's supposed to work. You have a woody substance or a woody surface. You put it on there. You paint it on with a paintbrush.
Yep.
So you got to make sure you apply it right too. We've done plenty of videos on how to go about doing that.
I got these are comments from the YouTube channel now, Permaculture Pimpcast. Go over there and we'll read comments off of that. This is from Shelly from Two Old Crows Homestead. I totally get this, and it's in reference to the episode 83, How to Waste Less Time. She said, I totally get this. One of my goals this year is to be more deliberate in everything I am doing. The books I read, my relationships, my time, what we're doing on the farm, etc., are the things I'm spending my time on, moving me in the direction I want to go. Yes, sometimes we need to relax. I get that. But 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Those things require us to be deliberate in what we do. Hats off to my favorite pimps on the planet.
Bam.
Yeah.
Shelly's awesome, man. Her, man, every time.
Wasn't even a competition.
No, I'll tell you what, man. Man, every time I think about Shelly, especially this time of year, thinking about her husband also and that pork belly candy.
Man,
Randy hooked me up, man. He knew I was going to cry if I didn't get none of that back to the Lamb Festival. He went, Randy just jumped a lot. Well, he brought it.
Yeah, he bought it.
He hooked me up, man. And I'm like, oh, man, because I got tied up on something or another. Man, I didn't think I'd ever get to taste that stuff. But yeah, Randy saved my bacon, pun intended. All right, so yeah, we got one from Donna. She says, I recently started listening to the Pimp Cast after accidentally stumbling onto your YouTube channel. Accidentally being in quotes because I don't believe in accidents. I believe when you're ready, God and Christ places you in the path. It's kind of lengthy here, so I'm just going to get down to it. It says, I read someone's comment about how she was laughed at when she started gardening. And basically, what I'm getting from Donna here, and I'm going to try to encapsulate some of this, is that there's going to be a lot of those people out there, and she talks about, hey, she's wide awake, and she understands what's going on in the world and the things that they're spraying and the things that they're doing, and how she's also been subject to being laughed at for doing things that, or observing things or noticing things that should be common sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a joy. I hate to say this because it sounds like misery loves company. I guess it helps to know that we're all in the same kind of company, to know that we can see some of this stuff that seems painfully obvious to the rest of us, but somehow a lot of the people in this world just don't seem to understand or get it.
I got a comment about Lincoln on here in episode 82, Set Lofty Goals. This is from Stubbs 97. What was Lincoln's first move after freeing the slaves? Allowed them to vote. He cheated the voting system of the time. That was the problem. It would be the same if now every illegal Hispanic coming over into the border was allowed to vote in the next elections, local and federal. You see, like Billy said, it wasn't because of slavery. It wasn't because that white man freed all the blacks and were so racist we got to fight for it. No, that's the lie. There were 8 to 10 things that were the cause of the war, and slavery was the last reason. It had more to do with state politics, borders, and the federal government cracking down new and outdated laws at the same time while increasing taxes.
Yeah, I mean, great observations, but honestly, yeah. It goes...
Something set him off.
Well, no, he's pointing out something very, you know, and as a little side note, man, Joel and I had a long discussion. We had a long discussion about the Civil War.
Oh, Joel Salatin?
Yeah. Okay. And it was, you know, at a table we were sitting down to dinner. And a lot of the observations, I mean, there's a book I'm going to send him that's probably going to blow his mind regarding Lincoln. It's called The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. And I highly recommend that book. And if you read it, you're going to find out through, in fact, go to the doggone Lincoln Monument, read his own quotes there.
He was a tyrant.
The dude was not what everybody says he was. And that seems offensive to some people because we've all been programmed to believe it was Honest Abe and all this other stuff. The dude, in so many ways, when Thomas DiLorenzo doesn't take out of context any of the stuff. He's using his primary sources, and he's pointing out the fact that Lincoln was a polecat. I know, man, how many people just turned off this podcast right now. I love Lincoln. Oh, forget you, you arrogant. You know, yeah. People are crying right now. And I'm sure that a lot of that's going on, but look at the facts for yourself. There's so many people in history that were lauded as heroes or this or that. And then when you get into what they actually wrote, what they actually said, what they're actually quoted as doing, and what his wife was involved in. I mean, the woman was a Satanist.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in modern terms, his speeches would have been sponsored by Pfizer.
Yeah, he was homeboys with Karl Marx.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the world wouldn't be in such a snarl if Marx had been Groucho instead of Karl. Yeah, you may not get that joke. So.
No.
But some of the older folks out there, the world wouldn't be in such a snarl if Marx had been Groucho instead of Karl. So I'm sure some people out there know exactly what I'm talking about, but I won't go too sideways on this. But yeah, I'm with you when it comes to Lincoln. Go to the Lincoln. Well, don't go to DC. Please don't do that. But if you ever go there, read some of his quotes right there written on the side of the Lincoln Monument. And I can't believe people are saying, oh, this guy was all about freeing slaves, had nothing to do with it, and the only freedom in the North anyway. So anyway, I mean, so we got one here from John. Those evil demon gremlins are called Furbies. I had one as a kid. Just listened to a podcast where somebody connected one to AI. Dang. Man, what's going on here, maybe, man? They do a Chucky movie about that?
Maybe that's the reason he said those evil demons. Man. They went and inhabited it as soon as they connected.
Man, I don't want nothing.
Man.
I mean, I don't want anything like that anywhere near me.
Yeah. Last one from OneVision2389. Hi, guys. Thanks for all the information that you guys give. Question, do you guys have black walnut trees on your homestead? On my property, 30 acres, there are black walnut trees everywhere. Do you have any suggestions as to how to work with them, specifically as what else I can plant that will grow around them?
Well, think about this.
You shook your head yes. Do you know some answers?
Well, as far as growing stuff around them, they're going to be highly allelopathic, okay? And there's some things that will grow around there, but I want you to think about something else also when it comes to a black locust. That is some high-dollar wood, yep. Especially if you got veneer grade. And I think to be veneer grade, it's going to need to be about 2 feet in diameter. And not only that, I think it's got to have about 10 to 20 straight feet. Now, that's sometimes touch and go on a black locust.
And if you do have them, if you do sell it, depending on how you're selling it, if you're selling it straight to somebody, make sure they are there when it is cut. Because let's say you cut it down and then you wait a day and then have somebody come and check it and price it out. They're going to give you a lower price because it's been aged literally a day. It's oxidized a little bit and the price is going to go drastically down. That's one of the scams that like a lot of people don't know about.
But as far as growing stuff around it, man, I don't know. As another note, black walnuts do produce black walnuts.
Yeah, you can grow pigs around it.
Well, that is my favorite nut. I mean, honestly, man. And now it takes some work to get that stuff out of there. But back in Kansas, man, we'd fill that truck up, man. And there were guys that would come out literally at the VA hospital out there. They would go out there and fill up the backs of their trucks and bring them things in. They come up to these little contraptions where they put their truck up, stick them things under there, tear the husk off of it. Now, there's a lot of cool things you can do with, like, some of the husk on that stuff. You can
make some alcohol.
You can go fishing with it. You can take that stuff. You can take those things, put them in a bag. It ain't legal, but if you ever get in a bind, you can take that stuff, put it in a bag, throw it out there in the water, and these fish will start floating. You can pull them in with a butterfly net. People also do it with now, it ain't legal, but you may find yourself in a bind. You can also use it. Fill up a bucket, pour it on the ground, and then worms will jump up out of the ground.
Man.
I mean, they will jump clean up out of the ground. So,
but you could sell it as lumber. You could sell it. Or, I mean, you could just grow pigs around it and then harvest the nuts yourself.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of options. But as far as growing around it, it's allelopathic, so it's not going to allow a whole lot of species to grow around it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I would hit up Eric Sider. If anybody knows, Eric Sider knows.
Yeah, if you're also going to...
He's linked down below.
Everybody and the great-grandmother's asking about consultations too, y'all. Yep. Eric does all the consultations, and believe me, he is meticulous. He is the best at it. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for us. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. But I